Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Schmozone podcast. This is episode number 55. I'm Dave Schmolensen, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen Yee with Helen Yee Sports.
And she is happy... because we are coming off a great Valentine's Day, I hope at least.
It was very great. Before I get to the gift that you got me, which was super nice, very thoughtful, I also was impressed by what you posted on your Instagram. You got someone to, or I don't know if you have the Photoshop talents. I've never seen you Photoshop something, but maybe you have. I'm sure you have. The Valentine's Day posts of like you got the bear, the roses and a heart. I loved it. I was very impressed.
Well, you only made a big deal about this holiday 3 weeks ago and counting. So I heard it every other day at least. So I knew if I didn't do something, I would never hear the end of it, at least till next Valentine's Day. So I'm glad you liked it. There's some very talented Photoshop people, graphics people out there on the internet that are fans of the Schmo. So I appreciate those guys. I tag them when they help me create some fun stuff, some fun backgrounds, and I'm just glad you liked it.
Are they the same ones that turned us into a cartoon? Because I thought that was pretty cool. And I've been seeing a lot more people try to become cartoons these days, and I haven't been a cartoon yet. So that was pretty cool.
Well, hey, there's a first time for everything, right? Well, yeah.
Oh, and the gift. The last thing is, well, of course, the roses, which thank you. But the ski machine, you're very thoughtful. Was I inspired by Ben Askren? I could have been. I don't know. But I know that we've been using it with our trainer. And you heard me talk about how it was helping me with my swimming and my strokes. And the butterfly, my butterfly felt good after using a ski machine. So you went and actually bought me a ski machine. So I really appreciate it. And yeah, it got me emotional.
I'm glad you like it. No excuse with that lat strength, those ski pull downs. Exciting machine. I'm glad you like it. We'll build that pretty soon here. And speaking of building things pretty soon, if you haven't tuned in the most previous podcasts, we are in transition right now. This is the temporary Schmozone Studios. We are building the Schmozone Studio right now. You know, great art takes time. We are putting it together. We appreciate your patience. We appreciate you tuning in. It's going to be well worth the wait. Very excited for it. But till then, we'll do these. We'll continue to pump these out. Digital podcasts. Today's guest, very exciting guest, number 7, UFC middleweight, Derek Brunson will be joining us. We'll continue to get great guests like him. And just wait till we have the studio in person. It's going to be amazing.
Yes, to piggyback off what David said, just thank you so much for all your continued support, for tuning in week after week. We hope that the wait will be worth it for you guys as much as it is for us to show you our new studio. So we're literally building it basically from the ground up, our ideas and everything. And yeah, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And right after this podcast, we're about to take a drive
to Arizona. Yes. We'll get to that momentarily. But today's podcast, let's tell you about the sponsors. I'm wearing the shirt, Fusion CBD Products. They're CBD Freeze, great stuff. They're sleep and recovery. They have energy and focus pills, basically everything. They have the gummies, the water we just showed. Check them out, fusioncbdproducts.com. Use the promo code SCHMO, get 20% off. You won't be disappointed. She's training for the Olympics, Olympic trials.
Yeah, just want to take 1 second to clarify that because I get quite a few comments, which I appreciate all the continued support into my journey back into swimming after taking 12 years off. My goal is to try to compete and qualify for the 2024 Olympic trials. I have a lot of fans who I understand the confusion who may think, oh, when are you competing in the Olympics? I want to buy a Team USA t-shirt and support you, even though I'm from Canada. I appreciate everyone. Yes, someone said that yesterday. So I appreciate all the love and support. But the first goal is I have to qualify for the Olympic trials. Then at the Olympic trials, that's where the ultimate dream can come true if I, you know, get top two or top six, depending on which event, and I qualify either on the relay team or individual event to compete in the Olympics. But first step, qualify for the Olympic trials. So,
and you will, no pressure. So that CBD Instant Freeze, I know you've been using that too. Check it out, fusioncbdproducts.com, 20% off promo code SCHMO. And thanks for clarifying that. And our other sponsor of today's podcast is Egg Weights. These are great. They mold to your hand. It's perfect for shadow boxing, great for just hiking, anything. These are heavy, dense metals. I got my Schmo ones here. They loop right into your middle finger. Check them out, eggweights.com. Use the promo code SCHMO10 to get 10% off your orders. Love using this stuff. I know a lot of the guys in the gyms that we go to, the boxing gyms, the MMA gyms, I see them using their egg weights. Really helps improve your hand speed, just your overall fitness goals in general.
Even during the P90X workouts, I used it earlier this week again.
When we don't use our trainer, we do the P90X workouts, the Kempo Karate. You might as well just put these in your hands while you're doing, you know, all the different kicks, all the different punches. It's great for that.
I was going to say, don't be telling them our secrets of P90X.
It's okay. I mean, everyone knows you're a huge Tony Horton fan.
What's that quote he always says?
I hate it, but I love it.
Oh, well, yeah. For the Ab Ripper X.
For the Ab Ripper. Yeah. Just memorize every line.
Yeah.
Like that DVD, 2003, still strong. They have like a P90X2, P90X3 and all that stuff. We're just giving Beachbody a huge shout out right here, I guess. But we stick to the normal one. It's just easy to implement the variety. This is his quote too, the spice of life. Just doing different stuff. Just keeping your body on the toes and just sweating every day with a different workout.
Because we refound the P90X. Actually, you refound it last year, almost exactly 1 year ago, because of everything being shut down and, of course, the gyms being shut down.
Yes. So going back to what you were teasing at, we are driving to Arizona after this podcast. Was supposed to be flying to Nashville to meet with Michael Chandler, but he was been on vacation in Phoenix. They have some crazy ice storms, winter storms over there. He's staying in Phoenix a few days. We're going to drive there, getting back to the roots, doing the Schmo versus the Pro with Iron Michael Chandler. That's going to be exciting. Stay tuned, but that's the bread and butter. That's kind of how the character, the Schmo, kind of developed. It wasn't just the Schmo and the Pro interviews. It was the Schmo versus the Pro. So going back to the roots.
So for those fans and those tuning in who haven't seen the Schmo versus the Pro yet, what can they expect from, you know, the Schmo versus the Pro?
Basically, without giving it all away, because I want to leave some element surprises. You know, if you're used to my interviews, I'm sure you are if you're tuning into the podcast, I use the character to really get the best out of the athlete, showcase their personalities. Well, why not go into their gyms, or this will be on the road, but Charleston De La Cruz, shout out to him. He's going to be running us through this workout, me and Michael Chandler. I've worked with him before. He trains a lot of the top NFL guys out there, and the guys getting ready for the combine and the NFL draft out in Phoenix. So he's going to work with us before his morning group on Thursday morning to run us through this workout. But basically, a strength and conditioning workout of a pro, in this case, Michael Chandler. If you're not used to his Instagram and see what he does, the guy does backflips, he does muscle ups, he does amazing types of workouts. The Schmo's going to see if he can keep up with him. And this is just the hope out there for all the Schmoes to see if us regular Schmoes can stay with the pro, which will be Michael Chandler. So it'll be intense. I will get my butt kicked. I can't wait for it. And I just hope it's entertaining overall.
You've done quite a few already with RDA, TJ Dillashaw,
Kevin Lee.
Yes.
Jordan Howard, when he's the running back for the Bears. Connor Carrick, he's the defenseman for the New Jersey Devils, the hockey team. So I've done quite a few of these, some NFL ones, the ones we did with Charleston De La Cruz, Manti Te'o, Micah Hyde. Just some NFL guys, Christian Kirksey, the linebacker. There's a lot of different fun and variety. Going back to my roots 5-6 years ago, and I hope to do this consistently 2021 and beyond. Obviously, COVID and 2020 derailed my plans to do this more consistently, but it starts now. And that's why we're saying this.
And a little fun fact out there behind the scenes is that the TJ Dillashaw one actually, in a way, got you to covering more MMA, right? Because weren't you more NFL, NBA focused before?
Absolutely. It was a thing I did with TJ Dillashaw at the Muscle Far Gym in California. He was getting ready for UFC 227, fighting Cody Garbrandt the second time. Worked with him, and it kind of opened the floodgates for me doing a lot more UFC events. And that was the first fighter I'd worked with, and kind of started with him. So the schmo versus the pro has roots for the schmo starting to cover MMA, UFC more full time. And that's why it's important, and great backstory behind that. Wanted to say that. Today's guest, Derek Brunson. It's funny because a couple weeks ago when I hand-delivered Kevin Holland, who he's fighting March 20th, the Schmo Award, he's like, you got to get Derek Brunson on. You got to show him some love. You got to talk to Derek Brunson. Well, guess what? Here we are. We got Derek Brunson coming on the podcast. 3-fight win streak. I'm glad we could catch up with him. Also, trains out of Sanford MMA.
Yes.
Two guys who just fought in the main event, former teammate Sanford MMA.
And the guy you're about to do the Schmo versus the Pro with, Michael Chandler.
What is this connection? All Sanford MMA right here with Usman fighting Burns, Michael Chandler. Then we got Derek Brunson. Yeah. That is all a coincidence that wasn't planned, but that's just how it works. It's Schmomentum.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to also ask him about one of his tweets, a big storyline this past weekend. You mentioned earlier Valentine's Day. It looks like Julian Marquez, he shot his shot with Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, let's save our comments for this when we get Derek Brunson on momentarily, because I know he tweeted about this, and you're going to ask him about this. We're going to ask him about this. This is going to be a great thing to start this podcast off with him. Looking forward to chatting with him, and I know he's got that bleach blonde hair. Of course, got to ask him about that.
I can't wait.
Yeah, let's do this. So, Schmozone episode 55, we're bringing on Derek Brunson, stand by. 1, 2, 3. All right, today's guest in the Schmo Zone. He's in his bedroom. He's the number 7th ranked UFC middleweight, Derek Brunson. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Of course. Helen and I want to get right into this, man. Julian Marquez this weekend, he totally dropped the ball with the Miley Cyrus thing. Why didn't he shave the MC in his chest?
I don't know, man. I guess that was the easiest option. I mean, he just had to make it hard on himself. Maybe he liked like a challenge or something. But yeah, you know, I mean, he did everything right, you know. The whole call out was kind of cheesy, but it worked, you know. But then he dropped the ball after calling her out, and then he made a demand after she replied. He just, you know, it didn't turn out good.
Well, you tweeted that he needs some coaching. So I'm curious to know, what would you have told him to respond to instead of that henna thing?
I would have said, man, listen, just shave the damn MC in your chest. You know, you can always shave it off later. You know, just go ahead and do it, man. And then, I mean, you got the upper hand, get the date, and then you got the upper hand, you know. You don't have to, like, keep it in there forever, but definitely don't come back with a weak reply like that. That was just awful, you know. I like the guy. He had a great win, but, yeah, that reply, that game was just some of the worst I've seen.
Excellent win, but I totally agree with you. As a light-skinned guy with chest hair, man, all you got to do is put the MC in it. Make a video, make a post. She would have responded by asking her for a demand when you're the one who sought her attention. Oh, make a henna tattoo and everything like that. She's not going to respond. You would get her to respond. He totally dropped the ball.
You know what? But in hindsight, that might be good for him. He's probably not ready for Hollywood. Like, dating a person in Hollywood is a whole different thing, you know, and he's probably not ready for that, you know. So maybe in hindsight, that was better for him to drop the ball in and not be ready for it, you know.
Well, is there anything else he could say to recover from that, or is it like done?
No, I think he can recover. I think somebody commented on my post that she followed, they follow each other on Instagram. So he's halfway in there. I'm sure he slid in the DMs, and after everybody was beating him up, he probably was like, I was just joking, you know, you don't have to, you know, shave Cuban, whatever. I'll shave the MC. So I don't know. I think he can recover from it.
You got a huge fight against Kevin Holland, Big Mouth, man. March 20th. How's training going for that?
Training's going well. I'm in very good shape already. So, you know, I have like 4 weeks to even add to that. So, yeah, it's going to be great for me. You know, I expect him to have one of my better showings of all time.
Well, you are riding a 3-fight win streak. You've basically fought the who's who's in the division. So where would you rank Kevin Holland's skill set amongst those that you've already fought?
His skill set isn't up there with the guys that I fought, but you know, he's a young, hungry guy. He's confident. So that says a lot. You know, whenever you're confident, having fun, you know, the fans are on your side, you know, you're just riding that momentum. I've seen guys in this sport just being in it for a while is that guys are getting the most out of their career. They're performing at a high level, but ultimately I don't think really their skill set, you know, values that. But sometimes when you're hot, when you're confident, I mean, that's what you need at the time.
What do you make of all this trash talking? You a fan of that? You against it? You find it funny? You go along with it? What's your stance on that?
A little of both. It's funny. It doesn't matter to me. Sometimes I'll talk trash. Kevin Holland's trash talk a little cheesy. It's just like corny, I don't know, 12, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old people would like think it's funny. But, you know, I'm cool for the trash talk. He don't really have a legit beef. He's just trying to be funny. So, I just want to know if he's going to think it's funny after the fight.
This isn't your first time headlining a main event. You fought the who's who. Helen already mentioned it. The Lyoto Machidas, the Anderson Silvas, and everyone. Who would you say has been your toughest opponent to date so far?
My toughest opponent to date was, maybe Anderson. He was just a guy who wouldn't give you a lot. He's very meticulous. He has a lot of technique. So he's a guy who's not going to create a lot of openings. So you have to kind of like solve that puzzle on the fly, you know? Whereas when I fought him, he wasn't in the prime in his, you know, prime of primes, but he was still a guy who can go out there and put together a good fight. Lyoto too, you know, that's a guy who you have to figure him out. You have to catch him coming in. Early in that fight, it was kind of hard for me to make reads and figure things out. And then I eventually figured it out and caught him on the way in.
Well, circling back to Kevin Holland, what did you make of his performance and his win over Jacare?
That's a fight. So when like kind of freakish things happen, I kind of throw those fights out. I'd be like, oh, that was cool. But I really don't put a lot of stock into it. Like for a guy to get punched from their back, you know, that don't happen much. So it was more of a combination of Jacare relaxing, not having his body in the right position, kind of lollygagging, playing on the bottom. So, I really don't put a lot of stock in that fight. I look at the previous fights, you know, where he fought good people. I look at the Brandon Allen fight, who is one of my teammates, where he lost that fight. So those are the fights that I look at. I don't look at when somebody has a quick victory or, you know, a quick finish. I look at the wars and, you know, the longer fights.
And he's someone who likes to fight pretty frequently and often. I guess last year he had 5 fights. I guess he says he wanted this fight sooner than March 20th. Did you want to have this fight sooner, or how did March 20th become the date that you two would be dancing together in the octagon?
Oh, yeah, I want it sooner. I was hoping for like mid-February. And I mean, I guess, you know, his Big Mouth puts us in this spot where they want us to main event. So that's where we're at. You know, we got a main event spot and they booked it for later because all the other main events were booked up. And, you know, here we are.
And your last fight, your last victory was against the Golden Boy, Edmund Shahbazyan. He had a lot of hype coming into that fight. You're the veteran. He knocks you off. Then he's inserted himself in the top 10. He's climbing. He could potentially be fighting for a contender. You stop that hype train. Do you see any comparisons between that hype train and this hype train? Or is that totally two completely different things?
No, they are hype trains in terms of, you know, the fans riding behind them. I think Shahbazyan was a little bit more of a have a higher skill set, just a better overall fighter. So but once again, Kevin Holland, he's confident right now. He's believing everything that he's doing. He think he can be champion, which I'm sure Edmund did also. But that's my job, to go out there and put all those thoughts and dreams away, postpone them at least.
You made your pro MMA debut back in 2010, so going on 11 years coming up. Can you kind of describe what this journey has been like to you?
This journey has been great, you know, just having fun. Early on in my career, I was kind of learning on the fly. I signed with Strikeforce when I was 6-0. I've been in the UFC since 2012, so I never really got the time to learn. So I came out UFC Strikeforce, and I made mistakes that people made as amateurs and stuff like that. But I would just happen to be really good early and dominate the regional circuit. And then, you know, I got the call up. But yeah, I mean, I'm having the most fun that I've had in years. You know, these last 2 or 3 years, I've been really focusing on bettering my craft and just having a lot of fun with training. I have a good camp down at Sanford. And yeah, the sky's the limit right now.
I wanted to ask you about Sanford MMA. We just had a huge UFC fight. Gilbert Burns, Kamaru Usman this past weekend, former teammates. I asked Kamaru Usman at the post-fight press conference if he can see a day where he can return to training at Sanford MMA. Can you see that happening? Can you see Usman coming back to Sanford MMA and doing some training at some point?
I wouldn't mind it. You know, it's funny. I've trained with so many UFC champions, so many top level athletes just with my time in the game. And guys who really stood out was Usman and John Jones. Like John Jones, you know, for all the stuff he do outside of the cage, getting himself in trouble. But when he's in the gym and when he's focused, you're talking about the work that someone puts in the gym. It's like unmatched. And I kind of see the exact same thing with Usman. You know, he come in, get his training. He's there 20, 30 minutes before. He's there 20, 30 minutes after. So those are two guys, you know, that really, like I said, set themselves apart and really train like champions. Like I've trained with GSP and a lot of the guys, but those two guys are definitely different.
Who's your GOAT then? Is it John Jones? Is it GSP? Is it somebody else? Who does Derek Brunson consider the GOAT?
Well, I mean, I guess you'll have to give it to John. You know, even that fight where he fought Hamill, in today's MMA, that would have been stopped like, I don't know, a whole minute before it was stopped. And it's a shame that you can't go back and review that, because that fight should have been stopped way before a legal elbow was even thrown. You know, guys not able to get pummeled like that these days. You know, refs are looking out for fighter safety, which deservedly so. This is a sport and people deserve to, you know, you're getting punched in the head, you're getting hit. You deserve to go home with your family as least damaged as possible. And if you're in a spot where you're not defending yourself or fighting back, the fight is over at that point.
Dana's still trying to overturn that no contest. Then he would be undefeated, John Jones. But let me ask you this. What was the mood like at Sanford MMA leading up to this fight this past weekend? What was the look on Coach Henry Hoof's face? Because obviously he wasn't here in Vegas. He wouldn't corner any of these guys, especially Gilbert or Usman. I mean, both of them he wouldn't corner. What was his mood this week?
He was a guy, you know, both of those guys started with him from the beginning. Like Usman came in the game as a straight wrestler. Like Henry Hoof brought him, improved his stand up from day one to now. And it was just tough for him to, even though Usman left and went and did his camp in Colorado, it was tough for him to corner either one of them, being that he brought these two guys up, which is a good thing. You know, these guys sport a lot of rounds. If you're able to have somebody 1 and 2 in the gym, it sucks, but that's the time where you have to do it. You know, everybody's fighting to be number one. So that's probably the perfect time to have, you know, two teammates fight each other.
Well, what was your reaction watching the fight play out the way it did?
I was hoping for a fight where, you know, both of them had good moments, but nobody got finished, you know, just maybe a back and forth fight, very good fight. And when the fight ended, I was like, damn, you know, I think, for either person, I would have been, you know, kind of sad for either person if they got finished. And yeah, it just happened to be Gilbert. So it's like, dad, that sucks too, you know? So it is what it is, but that's the fight game. That's, we're fighters, you know, and that's what happened. We put ourselves out there. We all want to be champions and we all want to work towards being number one. And sometimes it might take, you know, facing a teammate or so.
Did the results, the way it played out, was that similar to how it went down in training and sparring, or was there any element of surprise to you during that fight?
No, I've trained with both of them, but I've been at Sanford for about 2 years now. So I haven't seen them spar a whole lot. I mean, I've seen them spar, but they've been training together for about 8 years, I would say. But, you know, training with both of them, I saw both situations. I saw Gilbert, you know, it made sense to me when Gilbert caught him early, and it made sense to me how Usman finished. You know, both of those guys are very good at what they do. And, they go after it.
Well, someone else who trains at Sanford, Michael Chandler, his UFC debut. What did you make of his win over Dan Hooker?
oh, that was great. You know, Michael Chandler went out there, brought it. He had the feints going. He is very confident and went out there and got the finish. A lot of people was counting him out. He was an underdog in that fight. And he kind of proved to himself, proved to the fans, you know, that he's really here and he arrived. It's funny, guys come over from other promotions and it's totally different from fighting other places in the UFC. Is guys have that extra motivation and they want to prove something to themselves. They want to prove something to the fans. So when they're able to do that, that's like a, you know, all-time amazing high.
I want to ask you about the middleweight division. There's some great fights coming up outside of your fight coming up with Kevin Holland. What do you make of Marvin Vettori and Darren Till? Who do you like in that matchup?
That's a good fight. That's a very good fight. I mean, if I had to pick just off the top of my head, I might go with Till in that fight. I think it'd be a good fight. It'd be a matter if Marvin can get it to the ground, but he has good stand-up also. So I think it's going to be a war for sure.
What about Robert Whittaker and Paulo Costa?
That's a good fight too. Both of those fights are like razor close. If I had to pick that one, maybe I think Costa might, you know, get his momentum going back, you know, with a win over Robert Whittaker. I think he'll come out really aggressive and looking to make a statement.
Do you think with a victory over Kevin Holland, you'd be fighting one of those guys and you would be one fight away, or I guess two fights away from a title fight? Or how do you see your situation playing out in 2021?
You never know. You never know. That's always been my goal when I came into MMA's, get top five, fight for a title. And I haven't achieved that yet. But, you know, with Izzy going up to a five, who knows? He might, if he wins the belt, he might, hey, I like it up here. He might vacate. So it might be the two most guys with the momentum going with the biggest streaks go after, you know, and that'll be a four fight winning streak for me versus, you know, a guy that just came off a title fight. So, you know, who knows, man? I'm just out here taking care of my business and we're going to take what comes after it.
Well, you just mentioned about Izzy going up to 205. How do you think he'll do and against someone like Jan?
I don't think he have a really good chance. I think he have a really good chance to win the fight. Izzy's a guy who is pretty smart on the feet, but Jan's no joke either. So he might go out there and get it done also. So it's going to be an interesting fight. I'm sure he don't anticipate Izzy coming up a weight class and taking his belt and everything, you know, all the hard work and, you know, he probably look at it like he can go back to 85. He still have a belt. He come up to 205, take mine. I won't have nothing. So I'm sure he's going to be ready for the fight and it should be a good fight.
A few days ago, Helen interviewed Tyron Woodley and she brought up Izzy going up to 205. And Tyron said something interesting. He said, why didn't he go up and fight John Jones? It's like he ran up to 205 to fight Jan Blachowicz as soon as John Jones already announced he's going to heavyweight. Do you see it that way? Or do you just see it as a situation based on timing? What do you make of that whole feud with John Jones and Israel Adesanya? Do you see that fight happening maybe 2021, 2022? I just wanted your opinion on that.
So, no, I don't think it's a thing of he waited for John Jones to go up to 205. It's all about timing. He went and looked good in his previous bouts after John moved up. So then he was like, hey, you know, I achieved this. Let me chase something else, you know. So I think if John was at 205 and he would have dominated Costa like he did, and Cannonier was supposed to be next to fight him. So who would he fight? Whittaker, who he beat already? You know, I don't think that really sells too much. So the next best thing, you know, selling money-wise, marketing-wise, was to go to 205. So I think if John Jones was still there, that would potentially be the fight that would have been next. John Jones just happened to go up a weight class, and here we are.
Yeah, man. So you're in Florida right now. You're training. What else are you doing preparing for March 20th that's not involving staying in the gym all the time?
Playing some video games. That's what I'm doing right now. Just chilling. Playing video games. Chilling out, eating. That's it, man. FaceTiming the family. That's pretty much what takes up my time. Just kicking it, chilling.
Which video games?
Oh, Fortnite. That's the game. That's the game.
Oh, Fortnite's is that the one with the dance? The yeah. Fortnite dance?
Yeah, yeah. That's the one with the dance. Yeah. Mad disrespectful. Just shoot somebody up and then dance on them. So, yeah.
Can you do that dance?
No, I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Okay.
So you got the blonde hair. Is that going to be the theme moving forward throughout the end of your career? Or is it just a temporary thing? Why blonde?
I think it's going to be the theme. Maybe we're going to ride with it for a little bit. We'll see how it goes. I just want to switch it up, try something new. And this was what I came up with. And it's been rocking it.
We see the red, we see that, we see blues, but how come no one does green for money? Why doesn't anyone have green in their hair for money?
Green might be tough to pull off. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, yeah, makes sense. Put a little dollar sign in there, a gold dollar sign with green hair. How about you do it?
I would put the line of money in my head, 100%. Just because you said that, I'll prove a point. I'll do that. Maybe we'll do that for your fight, March 20th.
All right, do the green. All right, do the green.
Oh, the green. I was talking about the money sign.
Nah, the green? You got to do the green with the money sign.
Oh.
Okay. You know what? Maybe we could do that. Maybe we could do that. How about, okay, we'll do that. Fuck it. We'll do it. We said it. Can we get a final thoughts message for the Derek Brunson fans out there across the world?
Oh man, it's been a great ride. You know, I've been, like I said, I'm enjoying MMA more than I ever have in the past. I really feel like I'm coming into my own. So I appreciate everybody that's been supporting me throughout this whole ride. And, you know, I'm going to cap it off right and ultimately get that title shot.
He's Derek Brunson, the number 7 middleweight in the world. The Schmozone Podcast, episode 55. We are out.
See you.